We start with that blown undercover operation in Yemen intended to rescue American photojournalist Luke Summers. It resulted not only in his death, but the death of a South African hostage due to be released over the weekend. President Obama deployed Navy SEAL Team 6 because, according to U.S. officials, hostage Summers was in imminent danger. But the rescue attempt ended in gunfire, and U.S. officials say they were not aware that South African Pierre Corky's negotiated release from al-Qaeda custody was also imminent. Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel did not seem to express many misgivings about the events leading up to the raid when he spoke to reporters in Afghanistan.
I don't think it's a matter of going back and having a review of our process. Our process is about as thorough as there can be. Is it imperfect? Yes. Is there risk? Yes. But we start with the fact that we have an American that's being held hostage, and that American's life is in danger. That's where we start. And then we proceed from there.
Joining us now with more details on this operation is Rukmini Callimachi, foreign correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. Welcome.
Thanks so much for having me, John.
What seems to have gone wrong in this operation? And it certainly seems as though the U.S. was ready with something of a hair trigger to go into Yemen in any case.
What we know from what has been reported and what U.S. officials have said is that in the final minutes before this raid began, someone seems to have alerted the kidnappers. We don't know if it was a dog barking or if it was a rustling that they heard. And immediately a firefight began. And the element of surprise that they thought they had, which is essential in any of these raids, was gone. Al-Qaeda essentially has a protocol, which is that if they believe a rescue mission is in progress, their instructions are to immediately kill the hostages. And so that's what they did. They executed Summers, the American hostage, and very tragically, they also killed the South African hostage, who was literally hours away from being released.
So if you know this al-Qaeda protocol, presumably the Navy SEALs would have known this protocol as well. And so any breach of the surprise of the undercover at any moment would have been disastrous.
I think the calculation they were making is that al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula released a video a couple of days ago giving a three-day deadline for Luke Summers for his life. They gave the United States 3 days to meet their demands. We still don't know what those demands were, or they said they would kill him. That deadline was due to expire on Saturday, and although I don't know this as fact, U.S. officials made the calculation that they did not want to see, you know, another American hostage killed in a gruesome way on a videotape, which would play on national television. So the thought was that they needed to do something right away. It's just terrible luck and very tragic that failed mission, in addition to killing the hostage that it was trying to save, also killed a South African captive who was just about to be released.
And that compounds the tragedy. Was the U.S. aware of Mr. Corky, the South African individual whose release, as you say, was imminent?
U.S. officials have said that they had no indication about his release, that it was imminent. And they've also said that they did not know that he was being held in the same location as Mr. Summers. I'm still researching that latter point because on November 25th, when there was the first raid to try to save Luke Summers, remember this is the second of two raids, there was a lot of reporting on the fact that although several hostages were saved, that Luke and several others were moved. And in that reporting, there was mention of the fact that a British and a South African hostage were believed to have been with Luke Summers. Now, this is just out there in the general, you know, reporting sphere. Whether U.S. officials, you know, were aware of that or not is hard to pinpoint. What seems clear is that they really did not know that negotiations had concluded for him, and that Gift of the Givers, a South African charity which was leading those negotiations, had gotten the kidnappers to agree to release him essentially on Sunday in return for a $200,000 ransom. I interviewed the director of this charity, and he explained to me that look, they never thought to contact the Americans. It never occurred to them that this sort of scenario could occur. And they had been told by the kidnappers to keep everything confidential.
Can you remind Americans or listeners in any case just the extent of the involvement of the U.S. military in the operations in Yemen using drones and these kinds of covert operations and attempts to rescue hostages?
Well, the United States has had, in recent years, quite a large footprint in Yemen in terms of the aerial surveillance, the drones that they've been using. This military raid is somewhat unique. And a part of the tragedy here is that AQAP, Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, which is the group that we know is holding him, they have a history of, they've held many hostages. And this is the first hostage that I know of that's been executed, or these two. This is a business for them. They've been doing this since at least 2012, possibly 2011. And every other hostage, you know, from Swiss citizens to a Finnish couple to an Austrian man, they've all gotten out after their governments or intermediaries negotiated with the kidnappers, usually in return for ransom.
Rukmini Kalamaki is a foreign correspondent for our partner, The New York Times, speaking to us from Istanbul, Turkey. Thank you so much, Rukmini.
Thank you, John, for having me.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.